Interesting guests, censored topics. It's InfoWars 30 Minutes with Owen Schroyer. Brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com.
My guest today is Richard Hirschman, and the mainstream media doesn't want you to hear his story as a funeral director and an embalmer, but you might want to hear this story because it could affect you or your family members or people you know that have received the COVID-19 vaccine. Richard, thank you for joining me today.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, you have an interesting background. You have been a funeral director and embalmer for decades now, so you have a lot of experience in this field. And when you started seeing these fibroclots in individuals, you were shocked, you were concerned. It was something you'd never seen before, not from a few short years of work, but from decades of work.
Yes, 20 years.
So 20 years, an embalmer, a funeral home director, you'd never seen anything like what you saw.
Nope, never seen anything until early 2021. Usually I estimate around May. It could have been a little earlier than that, March or April, but when I first saw it, I was, you know, just kind of perplexed. You know, sometimes you run across things that are different, unusual, and you chalk it up as, well, that was strange.
But it might be a one-off.
Yeah.
When you're talking about, you know, dead bodies, corpses, might be a one-off here, a one-off there, but you kept seeing this.
Right, because we were seeing an increase in clotting, especially towards the end of 2020, but especially when 2021 came around in January, the clotting issues just got worse. But sometime within the first 3, 4, 5 months, the clotting was getting more and more stringy and all this stuff. And then I started seeing these white fibrous strands, and I was taken back and wasn't really keeping track of it at the time, but a one-off, well, that's weird. Again, huh? And but as the summer was going along through May, June, July, we were seeing it more and more often, and I started asking questions of others that around me that I work with and other embalmers that I know. Nobody could explain it, and all of them were, the actual active embalmers were starting to notice the same thing.
So you have talked to other embalmers. I was going to ask you that. You actually brought some examples here, mm-hmm. if you want to grab a couple of those, because I think it's important also to explain that these are not normal blood clots. You're saying you've never seen anything like this.
Right. A normal blood clot looks like grape jelly. Sometimes they can be a little bit on the larger side. But if you try to manipulate them, it's kind of like trying to hold on to Jell-O or grape jelly. It is red in color, and they tend to fall apart. You can almost rub them in your finger like this, and it just simply will start to dissolve. And when we would remove larger blood clots in the past...
Let me see these.
You could... You would have to be very, you know, to try to get it out in one piece, you had to be extremely delicate. But these right here, you grab a hold of them, and I've had some that are where I put a ruler next to it, and it was 33 inches long out of an artery, which is even more alarming because clots normally would be found in
Looks
veins.
Like you have a couple others in there, too.
Huh?
You have a couple more, too?
I've got a couple more here.
I'm just trying to compare and contrast. I mean, they look pretty similar,
but
these
stuff,
look a little different.
Right. The reason why it's a little dark.
I mean, these are huge.
Right. Now, the one that looks really thick, I can't remember, but I believe that's one.
That's just one strand.
Yes, but this is an interesting one because...
But either way, none of these had been seen before the COVID vaccine. For you?
Not for me. I hadn't seen it. And all of the people that I talked to, and some of the embalmers that I talked to, you know, I had 20 years at the time. I talked to people that had 30, 40, even 50 years. And they'd never seen anything like it either.
And again, I mean, I'm looking at these things. They're massive. I mean, these are enough to potentially or outright kill somebody.
Right. Now, the big controversy that's going out there right now, or some people are trying to say, is, you know, ante-mortem, which means before death, or post-mortem, meaning these things are forming after death. Either way, for me as the embalmer, it doesn't matter. I'm seeing something I'd never seen before, and I'm seeing this way too often. You know, right now I'm seeing them probably at one scale, you know, they're, you know, sometimes they're not always as big, sometimes they're smaller, but I'm finding this white fibrous stuff in probably at least 50% of the people that I'm embalming now.
Do you have any doubt that this is from the COVID-19 vaccine?
Well, after all of the people I've talked to, I believe it's related to the COVID vaccine. But at the same time, all of the experts that I talked to, and some of the scientists and doctors and pathologists, they leave room for the COVID virus itself. And it's because they believe this is spike protein related. The spike protein on the outside of the virus through natural infection is still there. You mean you still can have it. The problem, what these believe, is the mRNA injection was meant to make your body create the spike protein. And then, from all of my understanding, is the spike protein during COVID, they were saying this, you know, COVID itself was thrombogenic. It became a clotting issue. It became a blood issue. Then to find out that it's the spike protein, which seems to be the bad part of this virus. And then instead of making a traditional vaccine of some kind, they utilize a modified mRNA to make your body create that spike protein, a synthetic spike protein, which means now you've got your body making the spike protein that is thrombogenic by itself. There's a problem here. When does that go away? Is there a turn-off switch in order to when the body stops making the spike protein? I'm not a doctor, I'm not a pathologist, and I'm not even a scientist. All I know is what I see, and it's just, in my mind, it is common sense. If you guys admit that the spike protein's thrombogenic, why did you create a vaccine to make your body create the spike protein?
Well, and it's concerned you enough to talk to the media about this, to go speaking in public about this. But there would be a way, and I know this is probably not involved in your field, I don't know if you've done any follow-up, but there would be a way to find out the individuals where you remove these fibrous clots from, which, again, you brought four examples. You have dozens of these, or you could have hundreds, I suppose. But you could ask, are these individuals vaxxed or not? Has there been any background check into that?
Well, in the earlier days, when everybody was super proud to shout out their vaccine status, and where that wasn't, you know, people were scared of COVID, and sometimes, you know, if the funeral director were to ask the question, they would know, and then that's where I would get my information. As a trade embalmer, which is what I do, I no longer sit down and speak with the families like I'm speaking to you and going over the funeral arrangements, getting some background information, filling out information for death certificate, and just getting some idea of what happened to your loved one, and then just bring up, was your loved one vaccinated by chance? You know? But now at this point where we are, it's kind of become taboo. We went from be proud, show your vaccine status, look, I'm vaccinated, to now I don't want to talk about it.
Right.
It's not your right. It's a HIPAA violation for you to ask me my vaccine status when just, you know, a year or so or 2 years ago, you had to show papers to show you were vaccinated to go to a damn restaurant. Well, that doesn't make sense.
Well, I wouldn't say it's like an admission of guilt, but it's kind of like an admission of, yeah, even I'm a little concerned, maybe. I'm a little nervous.
Yeah. Well, the reason why, and I could show you on my phone a reply that I had given to this person who's a part of the movement before I went public. My concern was I'm seeing an obvious change in the people's blood.
It's an anomaly.
An anomaly, but it's no longer an anomaly. It's become a routine. I see something's wrong. The other morticians that I know, they see something's wrong. Some of them are vaccinated, some are not. Even the vaccinated ones are seeing something don't look right. Now, some might want to sit there and deny it. But if I notice something's different in the blood, and back then, I didn't know. I didn't know if it was the vaccine, if it was the virus. I don't care if it was the, you know, everybody's eating the wrong Doritos causing this. My point is, if we don't bring this to the attention of people that can investigate it, they'll never get to the cause. Think about you could be driving a car and get a recall because of a tie rod end or a bad thing, and the government makes the company recall those vehicles.
Happens all the time.
But we can't look at something that could potentially be affecting over 5 billion people.
And usually, even with those car recalls, it's a very small chance that you even have to deal with the windshield problem or whatever it is. With these, it looks like it might be a very high percentage chance. We're talking maybe 10% or higher. But, you know, when you get into the issue of people want to say, well, this could be caused by the virus or the vaccine, I guess I'll just ask you, if it was being caused, if these clots were being caused by the virus, don't you think you would have started seeing them in 2020?
That's a great point, because I've admitted that, yes, as 2020 was progressing, the clotting issues got worse. The blood was stringier and there was a lot more clotting, but it was still more, it was the more the traditional blood clots that we were used to seeing.
It was still red and...
Still red, just a lot more of it. And this is a theory, but it makes sense to me. Again, I'm not a doctor. What was the difference? COVID, they said, was thrombogenic. All right, because of the spike protein. Well, now we got a vaccine that's going around, and we're making the body create that spike protein, which means the vaccine by itself, without COVID, will make you have a thrombogenic issue. A clotting issue is, you know, you could end up with clotting issue just because of the spike protein. The spike protein by itself is thrombogenic, meaning it can cause clots. There are papers. You look at all of the potential adverse reactions, you're going to see thrombocytopenia, thrombosis, DVTs. You see heart issues, you see brain issues, you see strokes. Well, a small clot in the heart can cause a heart attack.
Well, and every single one of those things you mentioned can be a side effect of a blood clot.
Absolutely. And there again, I'm sitting here seeing the stuff on the table in front of me as their death certificates is through the corner. The doctor will sit there, oh yeah, myocardial infarction or a heart attack or a stroke or a brain bleed or whatever. And when I sit there and I hear, you know, the funeral director sit there and say, oh yeah, they died of a heart attack. They said it was a heart attack, or they said it was a stroke. And then I'm embalming this person and I see all this weird junk coming out of their blood. And I'm like, no wonder they died of a heart attack.
Well, did you start to notice that first? Did you start to notice? I mean, obviously heart attacks are not an uncommon thing.
Right.
People do die from heart attacks. Did you notice that first, that these incidents were causing death more than they were before?
We were getting more people that were dropping dead unexpectedly. Like, you know, we had a case one time, and it was in the latter part of 2021. I can't remember the month. In her 30s, and had been vaccinated, and wasn't feeling right. Goes to the doctor. They don't. You're fine. You know, we don't find nothing wrong with you. Goes home, drops dead. No autopsies performed. And I sit there and I'm embalming the body, and they weren't these big ones like what I'm showing you right now, but there were many of them that were about the length of my fingernail, and it looked like little parasites, but they're not parasites. And I had to learn, change my terminology a little bit, but they were like little, about that long. And there was a bunch of them coming out in the blood while I was embalming her. And I'm thinking, was that what killed her? I can't say I'm not a pathologist. People accuse me, who are you?
You're just observant.
I'm just observing. I am just telling you what I see and not just telling you about it.
Well, you're showing it.
I'm showing the evidence of what I see. You know, these fact checkers have had 2 years now to sit there and debunk my claims and my stories. If this stuff existed prior, and it's in the medical literature, and there's, you know, doctors, and they take pictures all the time. If this stuff was actually a normal occurrence, it would be all over in medical literature. Why haven't they shown?
Well, the fact checkers aren't interested in facts.
No, I think that
we have discovered that that is the case. But now there's enough data, and even the medical documents are out, that basically your account from this is backed up now by medical science as far as studies post-vaccine are concerned. But let's just hone in on one thing. Part of the process of embalming is you're draining the liquids, you're draining the blood, right?
We're pumping in a preservative, formaldehyde typically, and we're pumping it into an artery. And then it's the as that pressure builds up and it pushes it out and it comes out of the vein. So it's you're pumping the fluid in through the arterial system and you're allowing the drainage to come out through the venous system. And so that's what we do for the preservation. Always in my earlier years is always if you're gonna run into blood clots, the blood clots are in the veins. It's where there's arteries have pressure, pushing, your heart's pushing it, forcing that fluid. So there's not like a lot of time or anything for the clot to form. But in the venous side, as it's coming back towards the heart, the pressure's lower, the blood moves a little slower, and that's where blood sometimes will congeal. That's where you get deep vein thrombosis, and a lot of the blood clots occur on that side. When I started seeing these clots, these white fibrous-looking things that were coming out of the veins, and I started noticing them in the artery, and the only time I notice them in the artery, think about it, is I have to make an incision and open that up to put my instrument in there. And when I make my incision, and if I see the clot right there, I could just take my forceps, which are like tweezers, and simply just pull it out.
And we've now seen this footage.
Oh, absolutely. But after that first interview that I did with Dr. Jane Ribby, some of the early comments were some people that were in the medical field and they questioned that when I had said that clots in arteries, they were like, clots in arteries. I mean, yeah, it can exist, but it's so extremely rare. Well, literally within like 48 hours, I had one and I saw it in the vein and I had someone working with me and I had this person take my phone and record me taking out of the vein. And then
it's been
of
seen
course,
millions of times now, by the way.
And then that's a different one. This is before that.
Oh, multiple ones.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So it's not very often, but then I turned everything, you know, put the phone down and all this, and I went to go ahead and open up the artery, and as soon as I opened up the artery, I saw it in the artery, and I was like, hold on a second, we got to sit there and, you know, I told her, I said, I want to record this one because people were just saying they don't happen in arteries, and I'm like, I'm going to prove it to
you. And it barely even took a day.
And it barely took a day, maybe 2 days at the most, I think.
And that's how common it is compared to, what, zero times before?
No, it's not. Even now, it's not like it's super, super common, but prior to all of this, the only time that I might see some kind of blood coagulation in an artery would have been a person that was found dead and they've been dead for several days, and somehow some blood in the arterial system turns into like, it literally looks like grape jelly, and you can, it's still in a malleable state. It's not a firm.
But you're talking about from almost no occurrences to now.
Yes.
It, you are seeing it. But this is why I want to kind of, why I wanted to hone in on this and really get you to explain something. If you put, and you kind of explained this earlier, you called it like grape jelly. If you put if you can even get a blood clot to stay in shape long enough, and you put it in your fingers and you rub it like this, it's basically going to disintegrate and go away. If you put one of these fiber clots in your fingers and rub it like this, does it lose its shape at all?
No. So
it's basically like a solid.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. Yeah, it's almost like tissue, literally like tissue.
You're talking about like muscle tissue.
No, well, it's muscle tissue is red, and it's not as, in the individual fibers, it's not as strong as this stuff. This is almost like a ligament or tendon rubbery stuff. It's not as hard as a ligament, but not exactly the same, but it's similar. I wish I could. It's hard to describe. I mean, you literally have to.
Well, I guess maybe I would ask it like this: could you even pull out a blood clot and have it maintain its shape like that?
Prior to all of this, when we pull out a blood clot in the past, you can get some larger blood clots. But you had to be careful with them because they fall apart so easy.
But not these.
These don't. I've got an image where I took two of my locking forceps, which are kind of like scissors, but they clamp into place. It's like a clamp. And I'm holding one of these clots, and I've got two forceps dangling from this thing, holding them in place. One was probably
so that's how strong it is. Yeah. It can even hold weight.
It can hold some weight. Now the skinnier ones, they're weaker, but you get some of these fatter ones, they're actually holding.
Well, those ones look pretty solid there, like they could hold up some weight.
And they're not hollow. They're not hollow. People want to say that it's a vessel. No, it's not a vessel. It's what's coming out of the vessels. The only thing that should be coming out of the vessels is blood.
So I'm curious, because I think, quite frankly, from my standpoint, this would even add more validity to your observations here. Before you started noticing this stuff, were you even interested in COVID vaccines or, say, conspiracy theories, or were you aware of any of the theories? Like, did you have any thoughts about them at all, or you started seeing this, and that's when you started to wonder?
Right. In the when the COVID vaccine came out, late December 2020, and actually really started ramping up in January of 21. I was asked I was offered to go get my COVID vaccine. The reason why I chose not to was because around May or June of 2020, I tested positive for COVID. Now, it was mostly just a cold. It wasn't that big. I had a little bit of a bad cough, but it didn't last very long. I didn't do anything major. The only reason why I tested positive is because my wife was sick and she didn't want to go to the doctor by herself. I said, well, I'll go with you. And I mean, if you get that, I'll get tested with you. Come to find out that I had it. Without that test, I wouldn't have known. Well, when I was offered to go get the vaccine, it was still at a time where you had to meet the age requirement. The elderly were first, and the people, and then also some of the frontline people. And because I work with the dead, they kind of considered us that way. So I was offered a few times to go down to the health department at a certain time and a date where we could go and get our shot. My mind said, I already had COVID. Why would I get a vaccine for something that I already had? And if the vaccine is so important, which at the time I didn't think either way, pro or against, wasn't 100% a big deal.
But in other words, you didn't have any agenda or preconceived notions.
No. Why would I didn't take the vaccine because why would I prevent somebody else who might need it when the supply was relatively short at the time? You know, it went through stages. I mean, in the beginning, you had to be a certain age. You had to have, you know, frontline worker.
Well, I would guess it goes without saying you're glad you didn't take it.
Oh, yeah. It didn't take but a few months just a couple of months into 2021.
Watch the full video right now at bam.video.